Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. We made it. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm good. I'm just tired. I don't know, you know, if you've seen the Instagram this week, somehow we've become co-sleepers with Gigi.
Oh, it's happened. I thought you said you were never going to be a co-sleeper, George.
I did. I've said this many times, many, many, many times, but I don't know how we've got into it, but she just always seems to end up in our bed, and I'm not sure why. Like, it's like we both look at each other and we both want to say no, but neither of us has the strength or the like inclination to like to see it out. Because with Axel, we say to him, no, you know, get, you know, go back into your own bed, and he'll just do it. Whereas Gigi will like throw herself on the floor, scream, shout.
At 2 o'clock in the morning, that's not very good as well,
not
is it?
Not what you want. She's no. Like, we kind of have to like walk on eggshells around her a bit, you know? She's kind of that child. And then I keep reading these things, you know, these quotes that go around Instagram that are like, hold them tight. They're only going to be little for
exactly.
so long.
Yeah.
Let them sleep in your bed. Let them cuddle you. All of this. And so when I'm like, shoved up like against the flip, like with my hand on the floor hanging out the bed, and she's kicking me in my back, I try to remember those things.
Yeah. And do you know what, George, me and you have always had sort of similar opinions on this, that we just chose not to co-sleep. You did, we did, and that was all fine. I feel, I'm going to admit this, I feel like I've slightly missed out on that side of it, and that does pay me a little bit. You know, our kids are so used to sleeping in their own bed that they actually don't want to come in our bed. So the odd occasion now where Kit will wander in and it's the middle of the night, I scoop him up and breathe every single second of him in. Like, I just, every inch of him I want to consume, because there's going to be a day where he just will not want to have those cuddles. He won't want to be in the bed. He'll be too big to get in the bed with us. And I think it's fine. Like, you know what? You've just got to go with your flow. And it actually sounds like, I don't know to everyone else, it sounds like you're quite enjoying it.
I can't, I sort of am. I'm also sort of not. I'm like sitting in the middle somewhere, you know, like I say, like it's fine when we're asleep. And then like when I wake up in the morning, she's still asleep. I'm like, oh, this is so nice.
Cute.
And me and James sort of look at each other like, oh, this is so nice. But then we both look at each other in the morning and like, we're like, that's not happening again. We can't do that again.
I wanted to cuddle so badly last night when I got back from work that I almost climbed into Luna's bunk and slept and spooned her. I was like, can I do this? Can I stay here? I think anyone...
Put my cheek against Axel's cheek when he's asleep. Oh. Because if I try going near him, like now, he's like, Mum, I'm not a baby. Off of me. And I'm like, no.
Oh, you'll always be my baby. I think we should have a conversation around co-sleeping and, you know, get some different opinions on it, because I don't think we've done one for a while.
No, we haven't.
Yeah.
No, actually, yeah, most people who've been on the podcast have kind of like not been co-sleepers, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
The majority of people. But I have been seeing a lot about it. I think there's a book going around that sort of has research into why it can be beneficial. And so it might be quite interesting to...
All I can say is that I hate sleeping on my own now. So anytime that Doz is out and about, or if he has to stay in London overnight, I'm genuinely hugging the pillows within an inch of their life, being like, love me pillows. Whereas before I'd be like, oh, a bed to myself. This is mega. What have I become? So listen, today's Q&A, we decided to do another another Ask Us Anything because we thought hadn't done from one for a while, and we just wanted to find out how you guys listening were, and if there are any questions that you wanted to direct at either Georgia or I, we would answer them for you. So let's kick off.
What jobs or careers do James and Dozza do now they're not in professional sports?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually had someone reach out to me when I'd said about James retiring, who she's married to a footballer, and I think I was saying that it was always our worst nightmare and something that we, you know, really dreaded happening, all that kind of stuff. And she was just saying that they feel exactly the same, and it was really nice to, you know, to see two people who have come out the other side of it, I guess. Because I think if you are in that kind of industry, the end of it feels like so daunting. And it's not always smooth sailing.
No, and it's tricky. And definitely James and Dozza have had their highs and lows around it.
Yes.
Anybody that is, you know, married to somebody, someone's got a partner who suddenly has to end their career. I mean, you only really see it in sport.
Yeah, it's mostly sport.
I'm trying to think about this. Minute you're not.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, James works in finance now. Sounds like it's kind of what he'd been looking to do, like, I guess, for like the last few years, that he's sort of been looking into it. And then like an opportunity arose and he's, gone straight in, which we know is really lucky, and it doesn't always happen like that.
He's still booted every day, isn't he?
Yeah, he wishes. He actually really wishes he was. They don't really do that anymore, do they? He wanted to wear a suit. He wanted to have a briefcase.
Oh, briefcase wanker.
He really wanted that, but no, he's smart casual, but he does still play part-time football, which I've said kind of tops up, you know, money-wise. It helps us, I guess.
Yeah, and he can't quite leave it. Dozza did that when he retired as well. He was like, I'm retiring from rugby. Oh, but I'm still going to train with them on a Tuesday and a Thursday, and I'm still going to play on a Saturday.
So totally none of the freedom.
And Dozza is now in property. He's a briefcase wanker and a property wanker. No, he's loving it. He's doing his own developments, and then he's working for like a big golf company, American Golf. He's sourcing sites for them, so he's got his thing. Dozza basically is a bit like Del Boy, but a bit taller. He's always got stuff going on, lots of fingers in lots of different pies. But yeah, it's nice. It's just a bit of a shift for us because obviously we're used to him being at home and, you know, being a bit more freelance, and now he's got a proper job. He's on the commuter train every day. It has been quite an adjustment for us, but we're making it work.
Yeah, same in this house.
This is from Danielle. Disciplining a 2.5-year-old, where do I start? I mean, how long have you got?
I mean, I don't think I'm the best person to answer this. I would have been, you know, first time around with Axel, I was quite strict with him about certain things. With Gigi, I don't know how to discipline her, if I'm honest. She doesn't listen. She literally doesn't listen to me, James, my mum, my dad, anybody. I try to stay quite calm. Something that I've learned from Chris and Rose from Expect the Best, and kind of getting down to her level and not escalating the situation by like shouting or raising my voice. I try and like calm her down before any form of discipline. But to be honest with you, like, I try the naughty step. She just basically looks at me like, no, you're all right, I'm not going to the naughty step. I find it difficult.
Yeah, me too. I think the best advice that we can give to you, Danielle, is to say, have a little listen to our episode with Chris and Rose that we did on the testing twos. 2.5, pretty much the hardest age because, you know, they're developing their words, you know, at that point. They're frustrated because they can't necessarily say exactly what they want to say. They're pushing the boundaries. You know, it can be a very challenging time, but there's some really wonderful practical tips on where to start. With Kit, the naughty step work with him, quite, you know, he really responded well to it. Other kids don't. So yeah, definitely have a listen to that. We're not experts in this area.
we try our best. Not.
Yeah, we do.
There's actually quite a few questions around this. Like, how do you juggle mum, wife, work, home? Like practical tips on how you manage your wonderful podcast work schedule, please. Someone else said, like, how do you work out work, do all that kind of stuff?
And I think this is a subject that people don't really talk about, actually. I don't see a lot of it on Instagram because everybody, we all want to be seen as like the perfect parent, you know, we're doing it all and it's a breeze and we're wearing an apron and we're baking homemade cupcakes. And it's like, in reality, that's a fucking lie. So for me, we have a lot of help. We have to have a lot of help. We've got a wonderful, two wonderful nannies. One is called Tara, one is called Lucy. They work with us on Mondays and Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays, half days. We have, you know, we basically have like a calendar for the me and Dozer where we put the things that we can move and the things that we can't move in so we can make pickups and drop offs and all that kind of stuff. And to be honest with you, every single hour in my day is planned. Like I know exactly what I've got to do, where I've got to be. And for me, if I don't write something in my diary, like for example, exercise, it doesn't get done. People try and book meetings in, they want me to be there. And I'm like, no, no, no. From 1 till 2, I'm doing a Barry's class, or from 9 till 10, I'm doing Talila in the garden, or I'm going to yoga. Like that, for me, that's my self-care. And I think that's quite a good tip actually. If you're sort of juggling and you're saying, oh, I can't fit exercise in, or I can't meet my friends because I haven't got any time, put it in your diary and then it is on your agenda.
Definitely. Someone else has just put, would love to know your routine on a work day. And I guess I've got like a conventional day job as well as, you know, doing the podcast and stuff. And like Zoe, I basically have every hour planned. So I get up, get the kids out to school and preschool and stuff, come up. Well, actually what I've started doing is going straight to the gym and doing my workout at the beginning of the day, so then it's done. But then I'm ready to sit down and start work at like 9:15, 9:30 still. And then I do as much work as I can there out of the house. I don't know if anyone finds this, but working at home, I just see everything else, you know, like the washing, the dishwasher, all of that kind of stuff. And I think, well, if I was in the office, I wouldn't be doing this. So why am I doing it just because I'm working at home? So now I try to work out of the house, even just for a proportion of the day. And I find I'm so much more productive, like million times more productive just working in a coffee shop. Also, it sounds silly, but like having someone make the coffee for you.
I was about to say that.
Like, that saves time, and then you're not putting it in the dishwasher and then seeing something else that you need to do. Having your lunch out while you're working, someone's actually bringing you a plate of food and that you haven't had to prepare, and you can just sit and work. So that's how I guess that's sort of how I try to do it. I've been really juggling the last month. We used to have a nanny called Lucy as well, who used to pick the kids up from school on the 3 days that I sort of do my freelance work. So that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But she moved away, and so I've been trying to find the replacement.
Yes, which is really tricky.
Because what I've had to do since then is go and do the school run, pick the kids up, come home, make their dinner, and then when I put them to bed, I end up then working for another 3 or 4 hours in the evening, which is just not sustainable. And actually I was thinking about this, you know, lots of people sort of going for flexible working, they really want flexible working, but actually not, it's a bad thing. Just remember, like, you cannot be all things to all people. Like, you can't do the school run and then put the kids to bed and then work late into the night every night. Like, it's just so tricky. So it is about just setting those boundaries and really working out how you want your days to look.
Yeah, I completely agree. You've said it all there, George. This is from Daisy. What were your wedding days like? It's a really nice memory to go back and think about the wedding day, because I feel like it went so fast. You know, like, I'd love to go back and just press pause and, you know, actually go around and talk to everybody and kind of take it in a little bit more. But we got married in Ibiza. Both Georgia and I had abroad weddings, weddings that were abroad. She was in Portugal, I was in Ibiza. And we got all of our mates and family and everyone out for like a week. And they were all staying in various different villas and, you know, apartments and stuff. And we had a pre kind of wedding night out where we went to, well, it's now High, but it was Space. So we got like everyone together. So people that didn't know each other, we all had a dance, and it was just like, that was great. That was on the Thursday. Friday was a bit of a rest day. And then Saturday was the wedding, and we got married at our friend's villa. And she had the most beautiful villa up in the north of the island. And we had the ceremony outside, and then we set up all the tables underneath these kind of like beautiful pergola trees with like fairy lights in them, and I was dancing. And then we turned, she had like this really cool Hammam spa inside this house, by the way. It was like a Bond, it's like some sort of Bond villa. We turned the spa into the Space closing party, and we had like glitter balls and kind of
amazing
smoke machine. Needless to say, we were still dancing at 6 in the morning.
Love it.
It was fun.
It's weird because actually my wedding doesn't sound dissimilar to Zoe's. Like, we got married in Portugal. It's where I grew up. We actually got married in a little tiny church in the hills, in just sort of behind Almondsil, if you know Portugal at all. And then my auntie had a villa just down the road. So after the service, we all went there and we had like an ice cream car and like a Prosecco thing. And everyone was sort of just standing around drinking and all of that kind of thing. And then we then had cars to take everybody down to a restaurant, which actually they don't really do weddings there. But the architect who designed my auntie's house owned this restaurant, and the restaurant actually looked like my auntie's house. It's a bit weird. But basically, me and James have been going there for years. We love the food. It's Italian. It was just like lots of sharing plates, like pizza and pasta and salads and all that kind of like really lovely fresh stuff. They also did Prosecco on draft, which sold it to me.
Oh, George's dreams.
Was my dream. And so we just had, yeah, like quite a relaxed evening, I guess, like dancing and drinking and shisha and, you know, just very holiday like,
yeah,
I guess.
Like Hotel Tropicana vibes.
Very chilled and relaxed. But yeah, the same. Like, everybody was out there for a week, so it wasn't just that one night. It was my birthday. Like, the next, no, 2 days later was my birthday, so I had another big party for my birthday.
Fun. Although I do look back,
so,
and I do think,
nice,
with the money that we spent on the wedding,
Oh,
I don't think, people listening, I don't think you need to spend, if you are, you know, not married yet or thinking about getting married or soon to be married, you don't have to spend fortunes, because
they see
a wedding and they just triple everything. Yeah. So I think you can do such, like, my sister got married and it was just the most beautiful ceremony, and she just did it at the local pub down where we live in East Sussex, and they just did it in the gardens. We were super lucky with the day, and there was like a hog roast and sharing platters, and we were just dancing to like a live band, and I think she did the whole day for about $5,000.
So good.
Which
actually
is great.
I think you've got to think about what's important to you. And yeah, I think for us, because we've been living away from our friends and family because of football for so long, it was really important to get everybody together for longer than a day. Like, yeah, it had to be a bigger thing. But like you say, you don't have to spend fortunes. I mean, I guess we spent quite a lot, but you could just go and you don't need to.
Just find some more money. I don't have any left.
Yeah, oh, don't. We'll be right back after this short break.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
This one's actually come up quite a lot. Do either of you have Botox or any other cosmetic work?
Yeah, so I have actually started having it. And this is the first time that I'm sharing this with you listening. And it's the first time I've spoken about it publicly, not because I'm ashamed of it at all, but I feel that I'm not here to promote it. And I think it's a complete personal choice. You either want to get it done, that's your choice, or you don't think it's right, and that's your choice too. So I'm not here saying to you should get it done. Some people it looks really amazing on. I think sometimes it goes a little bit too far, but it's completely up to you. So I've just started having it about 6 months ago. So I've had two lots, and I've just been having a little bit in my forehead, and I've noticed that it's been a complete game changer for me. Like, in terms of feeling fresh and looking like I've had 12 hours sleep a night, that's what it's doing for me. I haven't had any around my eyes. I'm not getting into any of that, but I just felt that my forehead was looking like it needed a bit of a freshen up. So obviously, with all my melasma problems, there was quite a lot of staining on there. You know, and I did have some like fairly kind of deep lines on my forehead, which have all gone. And so I get it done. Well, obviously I've had it done twice. I'm going to get it done again in another couple of months. It was really painless. I've been going to this amazing lady in Beaconsfield, and she's under, I think it's the Marlow Clinic. Her name's Dr. Marriott Grant, and she's a South African lady. She's got a great clinic, and I'm loving it so far. And what have you had yours yet, George?
I haven't had any done. I've actually booked to have it done maybe three times, and the first time I'd had my COVID vaccine, and when she sent through the like the form before, she said, "Have you had your COVID vaccine in the last 14 days?" And I was like, "Yeah." Oh, and then shit. She messaged me and said, "Sorry, you can't have it done." The next time, I then had my second one, but I hadn't realised I had it booked in, if you know what I mean. Otherwise, I'd have just waited till after. And then the third time, I actually had COVID.
Oh God!
So it was like but I am going to have it done. I've really thought about it, really, really thought about it. And I think as well, so it's so important that people say they've had it done, because I think what happens is the people who talk about having it done are quite often the people who have gone too far, because it's almost like they can't deny it. And then it kind of scares people into having it done, because you think that that's just what happens. Whereas the more people who just say they've had it done, you probably wouldn't even know. Like you wouldn't know. And that's the good work, isn't it? That's when it's good.
I didn't want to be... So for me, I think it's important to share it and talk about it, because I would never want somebody to look at me and go, "Oh, you know, I'm going to spend 150 quid on, you know, a face cream that's really good for fine lines on the forehead." And then for them not to have that result achieved, for them going, "Oh, well, look, Zoe said that she was using that and that's what happened." No. Like, yes, the creams are great. But if you are in a situation where you've got, you know, some people have the frown line that's all they can see when they look in the mirror. And if this can help you feel a little bit more confidence, it was all about confidence for me. And it's really, really helped me feel sort of better in my own skin about it. But, you know, it's totally.
But actually, do you know what? I think it's important to say this as well, that Botox isn't an alternative to face creams. Like, they do completely different things. Like, Botox is almost like the plaster on your wall, and then the paint is your skincare. Like, that's the paint is giving you like the dewy, you know, the evenness, the tone, all that kind of stuff. And the Botox or the filler or whatever it is that you do, it's kind of like the structure behind it. So they go hand in hand.
I love that you've said that. We've got very DIY, haven't
we? Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Here we go. What's better, childminders or nursery?
Gosh. I actually don't have any experience with childminders. But I know lots of people that do. And I think the only difference is usually a childminder is one person or two people maybe, and they have a set amount of children. They might take them on day trips. They might, you know, they usually have them in their house or in a setting. Yeah. Whereas a nursery or a preschool is, I guess, a bit more structured.
Yeah.
I've always gone sort of down the nursery route, I guess, or preschool route, because I always think it's not just down to one person to be looking after them. If that one person is sick, then there's other staff who can step in. That's my only thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love both, actually. And the kids have been to childminders and to nursery and to preschool and to, you know, they've kind of done a sort of mixture of them all. I think it depends on what you want. I love the idea of a childminder, and it really worked for my two, because there was other kids there, you know, like you said, Georgia, they were sort of going on little excursions, and it was a bit more sort of free flowing. And, you know, we had this amazing childminder who just looked up. I think there was about eight of them altogether. A couple of, you know, there wasn't just one person. I think it was two people looking up, but it was lovely and it really worked. And it's a much more cost-effective way of doing it. Some of the nurseries are like 80 quid a day. Yeah. Who has got the money for that sort of childcare?
I know.
So I think if you can make it work.
I was looking the other day at the difference in price, and I think Gigi's preschool is like £7.50 an hour or something, which is pretty good, for a preschool. And the childminder that's literally next door is £5 something an hour or something like that. So just to give you a comparison on cost.
And continuing on to Becca, where to even start sorting out childcare for post-maternity leave? Thank you. Go on, George. You're the expert in this.
Oh, God. I'm not the expert, but I've just been going through it. I think you've got to look at what, you know, your job. Like, is it a flexible job? Like, do your hours change? Because if your hours change and your days change and all that kind of stuff, then probably a day nursery isn't going to be right for you. A day nursery is fantastic, like what Gigi and Axel used to go to, because you can drop them off from 7:30 in the morning. So if you commute anywhere or you need that extra time, it's brilliant. And then you can sometimes pick them up at 7 o'clock at night. So you get a long day, but it is a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
And some of them you do have to go and put your name down like pretty far in advance.
Right.
Then childcare.co.uk, my new favourite website in the world,
love that.
Is brilliant, because there's on there, you've got childminders, preschools, day nurseries, babysitters, ad hoc childcare. And you can almost go on there. I think you pay $14.99 for 2 weeks and you can post an advert. People can apply. You might, you know, if you're in a job where your hours change, you might find somebody who is looking for like a more flexible role, and they don't mind the ad hoc, you know, 6 hours one day, 10 hours the next day.
Yeah.
They might not mind that. So there are so many options, I think. But I think the thing you've got to do is to work out what do you need? Like, what are the hours that you need? And where do you want them to be spent? Do you want them to be spent in your house? Like, do you want your little one to be at home and then you might need a nanny? Or do you want them to be out, you know, socializing with other kids?
Yeah,
but there are so many options.
There are, and also
just
be organised. Yeah, Facebook's a really good idea to kind of go onto any of the groups. Like, we found our lovely Lucy on the Surrey Nanny Network,
yes.
And I just put an advert up, and I had loads of applications. I did loads of interviews, and Lucy was just wonderful. And then when I was looking for Tara, I said to Luce, "Have you got any ideas?" And she was like, "Hold on, I'm just going to ask my network of nannies." And then Tara was great, and we negotiated a different rate and sort of different hours, and she does different things because she does a bit of housekeeping as well. Like, you can make it work for you. It just depends on what you need. Don't leave it to the last minute, because these things take a lot longer than you think that they do.
Exactly.
You will find somebody. Also, Bubble app is brilliant if you want some. Did you say Bubble, George?
I didn't. I have mentioned them numerous times before. I use them quite often, like if I need a babysitter, or just, you know, we're recording the podcast, for instance, and I need someone for a few hours. They are fantastic.
Love that.
This is from Sophie. Would you ever get a stay-at-home mum interviewed on the show? I love the podcast.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, we were stay-at-home mums, and stay-at-home mums absolutely rock. And we're sort of, stay-at-home, what, as in a mum that doesn't work, or doesn't want to work, or chooses not to work, or wants to be at home with the kids? What sort? Definitely is the answer.
Yeah, I think it could be interesting to talk to a mum that, has chosen not to go back to work.
Brilliant.
Or doesn't have any interest in working. Because I guess quite often people come on the podcast because they are working in some kind of space.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. And so it's not a we wouldn't, it's just a
who?
Message us.
And just one more thing, because I think someone's asked about our what collagen and proteins we take. And I have got to start raving about this brand, because I've just started using them. Mm-hmm. Vital Proteins. I think this is Jennifer Aniston's company.
Oh,
I was seeing it everywhere, and I was like, I'm just going to buy myself a tub. Oh, it's delicious. I've started putting it into my green juice with my Colo in the mornings. And I think I'm probably using it for about 2.5 weeks. And I just feel like my skin's feeling a little bit firmer, a little bit brighter, maybe just a bit more dewy. And
that's
obviously with my menopause, or you know, the lack of estrogen, sometimes I look down at my legs and I'm like, oh God, it's like a snake leg. And I'm trying to plump more kind of hydration into my skin. So I'll keep you posted, but you just put a couple of scoops. You can either just mix it with hot water if you want, or whack
That's
it in a
good.
Juice. Really good. I really rate
I've
them.
Actually just started a new little powder as well. I think it's got hyaluronic acid, collagen, and something else in it from a brand called Innermost.
Oh yeah, nice.
We started taking this because it literally doesn't taste of anything. You could put it two teaspoons in your tea in the morning if you really wanted to.
Right.
Like it's brilliant. I haven't been taking it long enough to say like what the results are, but the the milligrams of collagen are the same as it, you know, as in the Beauty Pride product. So I'd like to think it will be similar results.
Yeah, so that is all we've got time for. Thank you so much for sending in all of your questions. If we didn't get to them, what are we going to do, George, on Insta?
Yeah, so we're going to answer some of your questions on Instagram, especially the ones around like fashion and product focus ones, so we can show pictures and give you some swipe ups.
Yeah, we'll definitely give you those swipe ups on Insta. And as always, if you do have time to rate, review, subscribe and give the podcast a little follow, that would be absolutely amazing. And because we love reading your reviews as well, they give us a little boost, don't they, George? And
we send in your photos. Please send in your photos. And if you do know a stay-at-home mum that would be perfect for the podcast, who might have an interesting story about, you know, their decision to stay at home, or, you know, the fact that they've, you know, never been interested in a career, only wanted to look after the children, then please, we would love to hear your suggestions. Just drop us a DM. We're on @MadeByMamas, and we will be back on Tuesday. Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.